So we were always together, and so we were in the car, and she's like, I want to write a song about my devotion. And first I was like, okay, let's write a rap song. I don't know why. So I'm trying to rap this serious song, and then all of a sudden I was like, you know, anyway, it just came to me in a different form than in a rap. And so these words are from Lisa and the Word of God, of course, and I just kind of put a tune to it, and Dick helped me. And so it's not perfect by any means, but the words are very powerful, so.
Through a lot of changes in our lives, and I was always drawn to that scripture time and time again, and it was just comforting. And anyhow, when I was told I needed to do a devotion while we were away in Guatemala, it just rang out to me again. And the week before we left, God told me I needed to write a song, and I thought, oh my word, I was like, he is crazy, I can't even spell. I was like, how am I supposed to write a song? And I was like, it's not my nature. I can't even sing. I love to sing, but the music has to be really loud. But anyhow, it was just definitely God's perfect plan. I guess I wasn't patient enough about it. I thought I was being disobedient, but I think I wasn't being patient. Anyhow, he placed me, just God ordained, with Christy, who is completely musically inclined. And, you know, she really gave me the confidence, too, that she could actually make it sound worth singing. So I'm grateful for that. But, you know, I'm truly grateful that God just put it on my heart, and, you know, I was obedient about it, and he gave it to me for a reason. And, you know, hopefully it will always be something that you can, you know, kind of look back on and realize that he's always your protector, and he's always there in every place of you. He is your shield. And so thank y'all for listening to it.
I I know this will be hard for you to believe, but I really do get nervous when I have to talk in front of people. So I have my little thing typed out here. And I know I shouldn't read this, but I'm afraid if I don't, I'll forget something. So I'm just going to read and add here and there. I've been on many mission trips before, so going to a foreign country and seeing poverty wasn't really new to me. However, this had a whole new meaning to me because I feel like part of my heart belongs to Guatemala now. Because of my girls that God has given Keith and me, and for those of you who don't know, we have our three beautiful daughters are all adopted from Guatemala. And there are many things I could share today, but I only have a few minutes, so I'm going to share what stuck out to me the most. And Harry had kind of asked us just to talk about how we had grown in our relationship with Christ through the trip. So to be honest with you, the things I'm going to share I already knew, but by being still and getting refocused, God reminded me of some very important life lessons. In my season of life, which right now is a mom to a 3-year-old and twin 2-year-olds, the thing that this trip did for me was caused me to be still and focus on him without any distractions. We were able to have those 2-hour devotions every morning and many quiet times. And when I say many quiet times, I mean even in the villages we had quiet times. I was a little discouraged there by not knowing a lot of the Spanish, and from some of the villages didn't even speak Spanish, so even the little bit of Spanish I knew, I couldn't use at those villages. And I found the language barrier for me to be a challenge. However, it wasn't until later that I realized because of that barrier, God allowed me to be quiet. I couldn't talk, and those of you who know me know that I like to talk. So I had lots of time, even working in the villages, to ponder and pray for the people. The thing that sticks out to me about the Guatemalan people are their faces. You could see sadness plainly, or if they had joy in them, you could see it plainly. Their emotions were written all over their face. And some of them came in with no hope. And so just to be able to pray with them and give them a glimpse of hope of Christ was just unbelievable in the gospel stations. And the gospel stations are another story, which have really challenged me to learn his word better. And my prayer is to not only learn it, but to retain it so that when those times come, not only in Guatemala, but here at home, scripture can just, if I could only learn half the scripture that Herman knows, I'd be doing good. But Herman challenged us in the week not only to be on a date with Jesus, but also to find our identity in him. And I shared with the team on Friday that I felt like I had been in a daily battle with my mind since I got back, and how it's so hard to stay focused on the Lord when we have so many distractions in our daily life. However, one thing God has opened my eyes about is that my distractions, which is usually my kids, I was going to say my husband, but I didn't mean like my husband, but just, you know, the serving of being a wife and a mom. And however, you know, God opening my eyes and realizing that that is my ministry right now, and how I must stay in the Word and prepare my heart, just as we did every day before we went into the villages. One thing that God kept confirming to me even before the trip and during this trip is that I must love him with all my heart, my soul, and my mind, as his Word tells us. And God tells us that when we do this, he will give us strength. We kept finding it amazing how little things would all intertwine, from the verses that Catherine would share that Carolyn had sit down, to the verses that Keith had sent with me, to some of the verses that people would share. It would just all go together, and we were just so amazed, you know. And, you know, there are times, I'm sure you've done that here, where our songs just happen to go with the sermon, and, you know, Rob and Nick didn't even talk about it. But the reality of that is God orchestrates those things to happen really all the time, but rarely we're focused to notice the little delights that he gives us. By preparing my heart every morning, as we did in Guatemala, I can see these little opportunities that God has given me to be a light for him. And whether that be in how I talk or treat or discipline my children, or how I treat my husband, or in my relationships I've built with other moms. And right now, that is, I mean, I know you guys all have a different season of your life, but right now I am a mom. And I find it amazing. I never knew that with kids came new friendships. And there are so many moms out there that are wanting interaction. You know, this past year was Kenna's first year in preschool. And, you know, there's so many they just hunger to get together. And I'm kind of a homebody, so I've even complained to Keith about everybody wants to have a play date. You know, I just want to stay home. But God has really opened my eyes to use these play dates as, you know, opportunities that He's given me to be a light for Him, and to share His word, His truth, honestly, I've been able to do that just by sharing. Everybody wanted to know why I was going to Guatemala, you know, and I know some of these moms are not believers. So for me, that where I used to think that was a distraction, God has given me, opened my eyes to see that that's an opportunity now. So I will come away from this trip remembering that this is my mission field, and I must prepare my heart daily and love Him with all my heart, soul, and mind. And when I do love Him wholeheartedly, or when you love Him, it will be hard not to share about Him, and it will hopefully be obvious that He is the light of our lives. The challenge had been to find our identity in Christ, and Herman had shared with us too. Under that was three other challenges: to improve our intimacy with God, and to be available to be used by God, and to be effective witnesses. I hope and pray that I will keep this as a continuous challenge in my day-to-day life. One thing I noticed about the medical mission team is how much they loved us, and they made us feel like we were the only team coming to Guatemala, when they do this almost every single week of the year, and they genuinely cared and prayed for each of us and for the people of Guatemala. So I think this should be a challenge for us today, not just me, but for everyone in the church, and do we honestly love, care, and pray for each other and for the people in our community, just like Max said, you know, if you think of someone, pray for them. I know I'm probably talking extremely fast, but and last, I cannot share today without sharing the, if I can get this last part out, overwhelming feeling of gratitude and humbleness. Sorry. I felt during this trip for my precious girls. What an awesome God we serve. How He orchestrated my life and Key's life, and the lives of Kenna, Cameron, and Chloe. And how He chose me, so undeserving. To be their mom. And the first day we pulled up to the first village, I just, you know, Lisa was there with me, and I just was just overwhelmed at such the plan God has for their little lives, and He chose me to be a part of it. And it's just an honor and a blessing and a privilege. And another bonus of this trip was to getting to fellowship and know these sweet people better. And I took a lot of insight from all of you, from Lisa, and she's waving at me, and just all of you, really. I even wrote in my journal nuggets of wisdom, and I have almost every single one of them just said something throughout the week that, you know, I just took in. But I'm going to end with verses that have become my new life verses, and that is Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And 1 John 2:5-6. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did.
Harry said I either had 4 to 5 minutes or 45 minutes, so we'll just see. Okay, I'm Suzanne Zesch, for those of you who I've not met before. My family's been here about 2 years, and I didn't want to go on this mission trip, so there's a confession. Tim went last year with Chase, and I can truly appreciate all of this, and I see God's hand at work, but I did not want to go. And I found out that that unwillingness to surrender my life to Jesus and everything was the purpose for me going on this trip. And obviously I went because I have the t-shirt too. And that's what the week was about. It was about surrendering my life and what I have known as a child, that Jesus loves me, that he died for me, that he's my savior, that I'm free to share that with everybody that I meet. He wanted me to put that in practice. But I never get on board with these things very willingly. I even call, we homeschool our children, and I always call myself a Jonah homeschooler because God says, you need to do this, and then I go and hide, and something swallows me, then spits me out, and I clean up, and I'm ready to go again. But that's a pattern in my life, and that happened here, too. Everybody kept saying after the team shared last year, you know, so you're going to go, and I'd say no. Somebody else would say, so you're going to go, and I'd say no. And finally, at VBS last year, I broke down in front of Harry and Catherine, and I said, I don't know why people keep telling me I need to go on this trip. I'm tired. I'm tired at the end of the school year, because that's when we get out the last week in May, and I'm poured out. I'm finished. I'm done. I said, usually my husband has to send me on vacation by myself or something. And Harry said, that's why you need to go. You need to be in the presence of the Lord away for a little while. So, being the teacher, you know, I started preparing and trying to mark my Bible and learn this Evangie Cube. If some of you haven't seen it before, it goes through the story of the story of salvation in about 60 seconds. No, really, it's supposed to take a lot longer, but the first time I shared it in 60 seconds. And then I looked at Catherine. Yeah. So I really started preparing, but one of the first ways that I knew that God wanted me to surrender my complete life, anxieties, fears, disappointments, everything, was when he dealt with me in the airplane. And I'm going to share this. This is my heart wide open here. But I'm a mom, too, and I have always desired to have a huge family. And we knew after our second son was born that I could not have any more children. But the Lord graciously blessed us with Anna and through adoption. And my children, my life revolves around, you know, around my kids, but I've always wanted to have a large family. And so when it came to working with the kids and seeing the kids and dealing with the people, I stuck my foot in the ground, and I actually told Tim the night before, I said, I'm not going to be able to work with the kids because my heart hurts. My heart, it just hurts. I'm just not going to be able to. So I was willing to be a casual observer. I'd said, I can go, and I can appreciate, and I can see, and understand, but when it comes to holding and touching and dealing with the kids, I don't know if I can do it. And, of course, Tim had been the year before, and he said, Suzanne, it's not like that. He said, when you go to Casa Hallelujah, remember that their purpose at that children's home is to raise Guatemalan children to be Christians in their own country. Remember that focus. I mean, that's God's providence. My husband had been so he could focus my mind and get my head out of the sand and say, it's okay. But still, and a couple of people here that knew my heart had even, you know, said to me, I'm praying for your heart when it comes to the children. So we get on the airplane in Atlanta. And right behind us is a mother, a young mother, Guatemalan mother, traveling with four kids, 7, 2.5-year-old twins, and a 1-year-old baby. And for those of you that know me, just out of habit, I turned around and said, if you need a hand, thinking, you know, opening the little food packages, or something. I said, if you need a hand, let me know. And she's 10:30 in the morning sitting there like this. So we sat down, and we were not too far into the flight, and this baby came over my head, whoosh, right into my lap, without any explanation. Marty looked at me, and I looked at her and just kind of smiled. But inside, I was laughing that I had told God I would be a casual observer of the children in Guatemala because I didn't want to get my heart broken. And yet here I am on the airplane with a baby in my lap. And there's a picture of her in the video that you'll see. Marty and I actually put her between us for a little while because I thought she could sleep better if she was laying down, but she didn't like that, so I picked her back up. But in the video, she's laying between us. And I just thought, okay, God, that's it. I'm surrendering. I surrender this hole in my heart and everything else. Just let me love the people like you would love them. And let me appreciate while I'm there. And I think I'm a lot like Christy. Just the people are beautiful people. And they're, you know, in America, I probably wouldn't eat lunch with some of you and hold your hand while I was talking to you, you know, or sit and pray knee to knee with you. And when you see us in the pictures, we're all close. We're all huddled up together. And there's just this urgency, you know, to go to God on behalf of these people. And so the people absolutely won my heart. And I surrendered. That hole in my heart, and Jesus healed it and touched it. It was a completely amazing week. And Christy already mentioned that the three things that Herman challenged us with were to improve our intimacy with God, to be available to be used by God, and to learn how to be an effective witness. And learning how to be an effective witness has been amazing. I didn't understand how it would work. There were two of us who speak English, and then someone who speaks Spanish, and then someone who speaks something else, an extra speaking person. I never understood what the third language was, so it was just the extra speaking person. And then the Guatemalan, and sometimes they had children. I didn't know how that worked, how the Holy Spirit would work through that to share the gospel with somebody. But he does, because of who he is in spite of me. That was amazing. It was amazing to share the gospel in 60 seconds or in 10 minutes, and the Holy Spirit does the work. It's just about surrender. It's about being there and being willing to be available to God. I was also... I wrote 8 pages, but I'm not speaking on any of that, so this is... the Lord really impressed upon my heart is the willingness of the younger people, the teenagers, to serve his kingdom. I have all of these conditions over here that, you know, he asked me to do something and I put conditions on it. You know, I'm a Jonah homeschooler. And these kids were just there and available. And my son Chase went last year and he went this year. And I was nervous about being mom. Okay, I don't know the gospel story that well. I've never sat right across from somebody and led them to Christ. How am I going to be a good example for Chase? And I was worried about those types of things. And the first time that we were in the gospel station together, Chase blew me away. I mean, I stayed there with my mouth open the whole time. And one of the things that he impressed upon me was the need to pray for somebody right then and right there without any hesitations or embarrassment. We were praying for a lady who was a believer. And, of course, we're holding her hands and praying for her. And Chase was praying. And she had a headache and she had feet. Her feet were hurting. And so she was praying for healing. And we got through praying. And I'm witnessing this. I'm not part of this. I was just there, along with the extra speaking people and the interpreters. And Chase looks at her and says, "So how do you feel?" And she said, "A little better." And Chase looked at me and he goes, "Mom, we have to pray again." So he started praying again. And she started crying. And I'm still just kind of looking at everybody trying to figure out. And he's praying, she's crying. And then she said all of her pain was gone. And I believe in the name of Jesus that her pain was gone. But he was obedient. And there are so many times that I'm just not obedient. So I'll share one other thing that I had to completely surrender, and has to do with my children too and with Chase. And I don't think he minds me sharing this because we've talked about it. The week was very powerful, and working with Sarah and working with Jessica and Jillian and Brooke, and just seeing how they were sharing and their faith and their willingness to do hard things in the name of Christ, it was like God got a hold to me and he said, "Suzanne, you've got all these young people that you work with, that you teach or whatever. They can do hard things for me. Be willing to do hard things. Be willing to step up to the plate." Chase, all these kids did some hard things. And Nick was talking about prayer and how we would pray every day. The last clinic that we were there, we were all holding hands. The Guatemalans, the doctors, everybody, the interpreters, were all holding hands. And I had volunteered to pray for unity. Then I was looking at my Bible, so I didn't know who else was praying for the other things. And we started praying. I prayed, and then Connie prayed for team. I prayed for team unity, and Connie prayed for the hearts of the Guatemalans. And I got my head down. All of a sudden, Chase started praying for spiritual warfare. And my knees buckled, and I wanted to hit the ground because you feel God when you're there. And I started saying, "No, no, 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 no. Chase, pray for anything else. Pray for the people of the United States. Pray for anything else. Lord, 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 don't." I mean, it racked my nerves because it is so powerful and so present. And I didn't want my son praying for spiritual warfare. It scared me. I was scared. You know, anything else. And then I started, he's praying. And I wasn't even listening. I just started praying for him. "Lord, cover him, cover him, cover him. He's too young to be praying for this." And afterwards, Max came up and he said, "Did you see his face when he was praying?" And I said, "I couldn't see anything. I was just praying for him." Well, and you can probably guess, after a powerful week in the spirit, he came under a powerful attack of the flesh. Chase came down with a stomach bug that none of the rest of us got. And he wanted to go to Antigua, wanted to go shopping on Saturday after a wonderful week. He wanted to bring back some machetes and knives and, yep. And it just knocked him off his feet. From the time he prayed, he didn't have an appetite. And this is Mom speaking here. His face was red, but he was at peace. But I kept doing the Mom thing, you know, kissing him. Hand up the back of the shirt, back of the neck, and he just went about the day, worked in the children's ministry, but he just didn't have an appetite. And when we got back to the mission house, he was sick. And I was upstairs and somebody called and said, "Chase is sick." And when I went down, all the men, a couple of the doctors, Hector, I think Mario was in there, Max, Harry, Nick, they were all in his room. He was laying on his bed, and they were praying for him. And I couldn't get to him. I couldn't touch him. I couldn't see, you know, what was wrong with him. And the Lord dealt with me in the area of surrender there, too, because he is, and the other children that I have an opportunity to work with are God's children. And God was in control, and I just surrendered that. The next day, when we were in Antigua, and Harry and the other doctors decided that Chase needed a shot, I'm just still standing there. Chase was sick. Sick, sick, sick. And he needed a shot, and they lined out what they were going to do, and I looked at Harry. I said, "Am I okay with this?" He said, yeah, you're okay with this. And I kept looking at Chase, and although he was sick, it was like he wasn't touched. It didn't affect him. It was just an attack of the flesh. And there was a lot of prayer. I got to witness Hector, one of the doctors, pray over Chase the entire day. It was amazing, just the way that everything was handled. And it was funny, too. He told me, he said, we're going to drop everybody off at McDonald's, go get Chase some clothes. And I'm looking as we're driving by, and I leaned up and I said, Chase, I don't see any men's clothes in any of these shops. And he said, I don't care. Doesn't matter. That's how untouched he was. Get Chase some clothes, and then they were going to give him a shot. And Hector said, we're going to sanitize the Suburban. And I looked at the Suburban. We'd been up in the mountains. It was covered in dirt. And I'm thinking, okay, we're going to sanitize the Suburban so we can give him a shot. And when we got back to the truck, Hector hands me a big, huge plastic bag and says, here, turn this inside out. So I turned it inside out, and Hector got the shot ready, and he put the plastic bag down, and he said, okay, now the Suburban is sanitized. So Chase slept it off, a lot of prayer, a lot of sleep, and the next morning, he was up eating steak and potatoes. But I knew that was part of surrendering to the Lord and knowing that He is in control. I don't have to drag my feet. I don't have to add conditions. I just have to be available to Him and to what He has in store for me. We laughed a lot, and I'm going to end with two verses. The first one is John 10:10. And Herman started off the week with this verse. He said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And he said, some of us weren't even aware of things that had been stolen from us in our lives. And it's not until we get in the presence of God that we're aware of what's been stolen or what we're missing. And I was missing the joy of living for Christ because of who Christ is. And I'm thankful that I've had that opportunity to meet with God. And he also said, he spoke from Jeremiah 15:19, and he said, therefore thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you. And I realized that anxieties and fears and doubts that I had was as simple as turning from the right to the left. It was as simple as looking at all these doubts and fears or returning to the Lord and being restored. And that's what happened. He's always been there. Since I was 9 years old, he's been there. But it was as simple as surrendering and returning to him because of who he is, in spite of who I am. And I'm glad I've had this opportunity. Since I've been back, I want to do hard things with the youth group, with the student ministry that we have. I want to do hard things with my family for Christ and know that it's going to be all right. And before we watch the video, it's about 12 minutes long. I want to make an apology to my parents. My parents paid for 3 years of orthodontic work, and for some reason, I have the need to wear these bubba teeth in public. Sorry. You'll see when you see the video. Yeah. So, thank you. Thank you for being a church that prays. Thank you for being a church that's willing to send people on mission trips. Thank you for your encouragement. And about a million other things happened, so So if you'd like to know more, please come and talk to us. I wished I could tell you everything, and I wished I could narrate every picture up there, because there's a story behind it, and all of us have more to tell. But in a nutshell, it was really just about surrendering and being restored and returning to Jesus. So thank you.
How do you follow those, right? For those of you who don't know me, I'm Harry Davis, and I had the privilege of... I don't get nervous in front of anybody. Leading this mission trip, and it was the fourth one that New Covenant Bible Church has taken down to Guatemala, and each one is just a blessing. And I just want to take this time to thank God for His unfailing love, His grace, His mercy, and His kindness on this trip. And as we put the team, as He put the team together, and the times we met, and the training we went through, He's been gracious and loving, kind. I want to thank this church body for the encouragement and patience and prayers, financial support, and for those outside of our church who supported us as well. Without that support, without your prayers, without you standing behind us, we would not have gone. We couldn't have gone, because prayer is the thing that undergirds us and takes us along. I did have about a 12-page summary here, but I'm not going to do that. I do want to say a couple of things. I'm not going to say that. I want to tell you a couple of things here that I think is important for us to take away, and I hope that the team take away from this. But and this is a challenge from God's Word. John 20:21, Christ said to His disciples as He appeared to them after His resurrection, He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent Me, I also send you." And what was Christ sent for? And in Isaiah 61:1-3, it says that He was sent to bring good news, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and freedom to the prisoners. And verse 3 says, "So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified." Christy alluded to this, used this verse as well, 1 John 2:4-6. 4-6, "One who says, 'I have come to know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him also ought to walk in a manner, the same manner as He walked." Obedience to God's word, to the word of Christ, is the outward manifestation of our love for Christ and our abiding in Him. We are to proclaim the good news. This morning in our Sunday school class, Nick used the verse, the section out of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1-6. I have to admit, Ecclesiastes is not something I read every day. But this is a verse that I think we need to take to heart. Verse 1 says, "Cast your bread on the surface of the water. Christ is the bread of life. We are to proclaim Him. We are to proclaim the good news." And it goes on to say, "If the clouds are full, they pour out rain." And if we're, take that as just an example, how can we pour out rain if we're not full? If we're the clouds that pour out rain to give the bread of life, to speak the bread of life, to proclaim the good news, if we're not full, then how are we going to do that? And the only way we can be filled is to do as Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, to offer ourselves spiritual sacrifices and to renew our minds, to fill our hearts and our minds with the Word of God. And then as Ephesians 5:18 says, to be filled with the Spirit, to be totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's how we do that. We must be Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled, Spirit-empowered, live by the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, and that's what we have to do. What God commands us in His Word is what we need to do. And how do we apply this? First, if someone here does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you must be saved by grace through faith. Secondly, you need to be connected to the body of Christ. We are connected to the body of Christ through salvation, but you need to be a part of the body of Christ here in this local church, in a local church, to be fed, to be discipled, to have fellowship, to use our spiritual gifts. But most important, we must be moved beyond that into intimacy with Christ. We must not be distracted by things in this world. We must sit at His feet, focus on Him, His Word through prayer and being still. We should not forsake the gathering of the body of Christ. That's not what the point is. Our point is that we must focus on God. How do we do this? Well, I think that we become part of the body. We become part of the body of Christ here. You can join us here. You can be a part of the new membership seminar. You can join Jeff's connection class. You can look at the grapevine and see how you can use your opportunities to serve. And you can desire to be closer to Christ. And how can you do that? Well, one way is you've heard it here. You can go with us next year in May or June, whenever that time is, to Guatemala. We'll be meeting in October to put a team together, and you can be praying. Is that what God's laying on your heart to do? Have you been called to spend time with Christ? Not to go on a mission trip, to spend time with Christ, to be alone, to be still before God. Is that what you've been called to do? And if you have, this is an opportunity, one of the many opportunities that you'll have here to do that. I'm going to close, and Gary, just go show the whole thing, okay? We got to do that. I was going to cut it short, but we're going to have a little DVD of our trip, and I'm going to close with a summation that Sarah gave us in her devotion about Guatemala. And this is what she said as we were finishing up on Saturday morning. She said, "We totally did stuff with the Holy Spirit." And we did. We did. Praise God. Go ahead, Gary.
Mateo 28 y 19. Por tanto, id y doctrinad a todas las naciones, bautizándolos en el nombre del Padre y del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. Y fuimos. 16 de nosotros. A un país rico con historia. Pero en necesidad desesperada de tesoro más allá de lo que está en la tierra. Thank you.
There's a cry in my heart for your glory to fall, for your presence to fill up my senses. There's a yearning again, a thirst for discipline, a hunger for things that are deeper. Could you take me beyond? Could you carry me through? If I open my heart, could I go there with you? For what do I have if I don't have you, Jesus? What in this life couldn't mean anymore? You are my rock, you are my glory, you are the lifter of my head. There's a cry in my heart for your glory to fall, for your presence to fill up my senses. There's a yearning again, a thirst for discipline, a hunger for things that are deeper. Could you take me beyond? Could you carry me through? If I open my heart, could I go there with you? For I've been here before, yet I know there's still more. Oh Lord, I need to know you. For what do I have if I don't have you, Jesus? What in this life couldn't mean anymore? You are my rock, you are my glory, you are the lifter of my head. What do I have if I don't have you, Jesus? What in this life couldn't mean? Lifter of my
have to look for anybody. I want to go. Here is my time. Here. y por la tarde, joven o viejo, alabaré. Si estoy contento o si estoy triste, a toda hora alabaré.
Promise that your word will bear fruit.